Change is a facet of existence none of us are immune to the power of. Whether by our own will or the capricious whims of fate, it comes for us all and works its power upon our lives, our minds, and of course, our bodies. The trap that is the human body, that divine dead end, is one our species has ever railed against, with no small degree of success. The Imperium, for all its sundry squanderings of its wealth, for all its bloated, seemingly inextricable inefficiencies, is rather excellent at one thing above all else: fleshcraft upon the human genome. However degraded our knowledge may be following the calamitous age of strife, humanity plays with its genes with no small amount of skill, curing diseases, extending life, crafting monsters. All, if you have the clout and the coin to afford it. We are nothing if not prolific in our exploration of the one eternally renewable resource we have at our disposal, the divinity of human flesh. There are others, however, things abroad across the great and terrible galactic reaches that seek to challenge our primacy in that regard, and some that do so with utterly barbarian tendencies that can only heap further horror onto the simple blasphemy of their basic existence. The subjects of this record are thus cursed with an ability to manipulate the changes of the flesh hitherto unseen in the dark of the void, and it is one that should truly frighten any who hear of it. Know then that this is a record of the Xenos Kroot, and sundry discussions therein upon the blasphemies of their biologies. The Kroot are a species of avian humanoids native to the deep eastern fringe, in the volume of space claimed by the Tau Empire. It is largely thanks to the Tau that they have become, unfortunately, present in the galaxy, as the Kroot have long served alongside the Tau as Xenos auxiliaries. Although they are nominally a client race for the Empire, similar to the Nikasar or the Vespid, the Kroot exhibit a high degree of social independence from their masters, largely thanks to their unique cultural practices. The species has a society predicated around a mercenarial way of life. Kroot auxiliaries are expected to render themselves to military service under the Tau Firecast, but this is by no means an exclusive affair. Kroot kindreds have been encountered across the breadth of the galaxy, serving whoever is willing to pay for their services with a remarkable ideological ambivalence, at least compared to the Tau. This social structure is, however, deeply tied to their biology. To quite differentiate exactly what is a Kroot from the other life forms on their homeworld of Peck has been the subject to confuse and frustrate Mechanicus Xenobiologus adepts since their discovery. Eventually, and after much debate, the curious genetic qualities of the species led to the creation of the Krootus genus classification that encompasses over 90% of all vertebrate life forms indigenous to Peck. Within this genus, the various subvariants can be categorized, but more so based on form and role rather than actual genetic distinction. This is, of course, entirely down to the unique means by which the Kroot have evolved, or to be more accurate, have directed their own evolution. An examination of their biology yields much in the way of evidence for this. Outwardly, the xenoform most commonly recognizable to those who have either treated with them or have unfortunately faced them upon the battlefield, Krootus aviana, is a tall, lithe, and athletic humanoid displaying traits that speak of an avian ancestry. The most obvious examples of the latter lie in the cranial region, the distinctive quills, though unfeathered, and a serrated, toothless beak. This does, however, extend beyond the immediately visual. Their ocular organs, for example, contain relatively few photoreceptors for a humanoid, but do contain a plethora of lens arrays that lend themselves to a superlative farsightedness, similar to that found in predatory raptor avian analogues galaxy-wide. Finally, their larynx's overdeveloped aspects indicate a wide range of spoken dexterity, allowing them to mimic Xenos languages evolved for completely different vocal cords. Unlike other avifauna, however, their nasal cavities are quite pronounced and internally complex, granting this genus an incredibly sensitive sense of smell. Moving downwards throughout the body, the torso presents good examples of the various fauna traits the humanoid Kroot appear to have developed. Reptilian analog scales form an exoskeletal structure of the chest cavity, removing the necessity for internal ribs. Their lungs are, curiously, similar to an orchoid's, but tissue-based as opposed to the fungal nature of the former. Their heart analog organ is an 8-chambered pulmonary system that appears to direct several different blood types to the biological systems that require them. For example, the respiratory lung equivalents require a copper carbonate compound, while the dermis structures need a ferroprotein liquid to stimulate rigidity. The digestive system utilizes a chemical of a compound currently unknown to imperial science, which one will elaborate upon later. The balkanization of the Kroot's organs is curious and notable. It appears, at least by the opinion of many a Mechanicus adept post-examination, that many of the Xenos' systems evolved entirely separately from each other, only to be integrated through a sort of cohesive evolutionary development that encompassed them. The reproductive abilities of the species are human analogous, but the gamete pouches are connected directly to the digestive system. The renal system appears roughly humanoid, stimulating muscle growth, for example, as well as bone development, the latter being largely porous and hollow, a further indication of avian ancestry, as well as an indicator of the species' renowned agility over all manner of terrain. They do not, however, possess any defecatory outlets, leading to conjecture that the only means of excretion a Kroot possesses is through regurgitation of waste through their mouths, or through rendering said waste into a sweat emission, a theory supported amongst testimony of Imperial personnel who have ever been unlucky enough to have smelled one. The digestion analog is, of course, the most central aspect of Kroot biology, for various reasons. It forms one of only two hubs for bodily functions, along with the brain. Kroot organs listed thus far, as one has said, have no interaction with each other, only with these two hubs, loci, apparently, for all bodily functions and systems. An unknown organ lies in the center of the digestive tract, roughly the size and shape of a human stomach, but comprised of both digestive and neural tissue. Capillaries branch out into all regions of the body, but these have been confirmed to not carry one of the Kroot's various blood forms. Two connectors here are most prominent. One links the organ to the brain, the other to the reproductive organs. Adeptus Mechanicus' conclusion is that this organ represents a sort of brain-stomach hybrid, to focus entirely on digestion and the extraction and processing of what the Kroot value above almost all else, genetic material. Perhaps the most distinctive aspect of the Kroot as a species, and often the detail noticed immediately by outsiders, is their habit, or indeed compulsion, to feast upon the dead flesh of other species. This, taken into consideration with the Xenos' outwardly primitivistic apparel and technology, has led many an Imperial to discount them as horrific barbarians. Cannibals, even, as Crutus Aviana display no compunctions with including the fallen of their own species in this practice. It is, frankly, quite rare across the galaxy for sentient species to consume others in this fashion. The Tyranids, the enslavers, Sundry other monstrosities are, of course, not to be considered for this, but it is unheard of for, say, an Eldari, a Tau, a Quarl, to eat a human. Orcs, of course, do eat all of the above, but not as a necessity or a practice. It's usually only for boredom and fun. For the Kroot, the consumption appears, for all intents and purposes, to outsiders, to be their primary diet. It is quite true, but not for the purposes of mere nutrition. Yes, the Kroot are apparently exclusively carnivorous, but within this meat lies a prize greater than base proteins. DNA. The Kroot as a genus have what has been described by certain fringe biologist adepts as neural digestion. Through consumption of the flesh of other species, genetic material is sifted out of the tissue, as a prospector sifts for precious metals. From there, the DNA is subsumed into the Kroot itself, for its body to develop into new forms of physical or mental expression. The Astartes have a similar ability as part of the omophagia organ, which allows for a marine to extract the memories of an individual from their flesh through consumption. But it appears that the system of the Kroot is altogether more blasphemously exact, and as much as it pains one to say it, advanced. The first form of this digestion is a sort of localized or broad-spectrum cellular alteration. The time span of this can be anywhere from days to a lifetime for an individual Kroot, depending on the complexity. The range of these changes is as diverse as life itself. It can be anything from developing bodily modifications, such as denser musculature, a tougher dermal layer, or more sensitive eyes, all the way to enhanced mental capabilities, new languages, skills with a particular weapon, or a form of craft. The limits of modification an individual Kroot is capable of is currently unknown. It appears that their culture and society introduce certain limits on precisely what a single Kroot is permitted to consume, and what it is permitted to develop. The Shapers are key to this direction. A form of tribal chieftain and shaman hybrid, the Shapers appear to guide the course of evolution amongst their individual kindreds, the noun roughly translated from Kroot language for the broader social group or clan structure the Xenos form as a unit. It is largely the responsibility of the Shapers to dictate the exact flesh of those their charges can and cannot consume, monitoring the development of the kindred closely to ensure that the traits that are needed are given priority and that potentially negative repercussions are avoided. This is conducted on an apparently instinctual basis, although knowledge of the craft of shaping is also hypothesized to be central to Kroot society, passed down generationally from shaper to shaper, likely through consumption of the deceased shaman's flesh, as the Kroot do not appear to place any stock in centralized knowledge repositories. This does, however, encompass the second application of the digestive system. Shapers conduct evolution with an eye to the generations to come. The absorption of genetic material is not only done with the individual's life or skills or traits in mind, but those it will pass to its offspring. The connection between the neural stomach and the gamete systems mentioned earlier confirm this. There is a direct correlation between the flesh the parent Kroot consumes and the traits their children will present. Imperial adepts have hypothesized a Kroot is only 3 generations removed from becoming a different species entirely, a radical departure from the base genus. Interrogations of Kroot have, however, highlighted the dangers of this. The Kroot genus is broad, and as mentioned, has clearly evolved to almost entirely subsume the fauna of Pech itself. The reports of the Ordo Xenos, Astra Militarum, and Adeptus Astartes have all related in one form or another that Kroot kindred serving either beside Tau Empire forces, or as warbands of their own discretion, have often been accompanied by animalistic offshoots of their genus. The Krootox, Krutus troglodytus, is a larger and muscle-bound creature, resembling a sort of midway point between the Kroot's own avian appearance and a massive simian. They are habitually utilized by the Kroot as beasts of burden, brutal line-breaker melee combatants, or even as weapons platforms for heavy guns. A similar role falls to the giant Narlox, Krutus Magnus, similar to the Krutox in terms of mental capacity, but far, far larger. Resembling giant saurians as opposed to simians, the smaller variety of this subtype are often used as cavalry for the Kroot, while the larger variety have been witnessed with howdahs and artillery weapons strapped to their massive backs. Kroot hounds, meanwhile, are the opposite, lithe quadrupeds that serve the same role as canids do in primitive human societies, hunters and trackers, but with far more capacity for violence than a Terran dog analog is. All of these creatures, however useful they may be to Kroot society, serve the Kroot as an omnipresent warning. Though difficult the interrogations and conversations with mercenaries may have been, as the Kroot are often reticent to reveal secrets of their society to outsiders, it has been discovered by the Imperium that each of these offshoots represents an evolutionary dead end, a branch of the central Krutus aviana that consumed too much of one particular creature, one particular species, took on one too many set of characteristics to become a different, devolved species entirely. None of the beasts highlighted above can be considered sentient, though all possess a higher than average degree of intelligence compared to analog fauna elsewhere in the galaxy. They are not self-aware in the way the Kroot consider themselves to be, therefore looked on with pity by the aviana strain. This risk is ever present in the minds of the Shapers, and is something they studiously seek to avoid in navigating their kindred throughout the years. It is, of course, as with all sentient species, not unknown for individuals to buck the social trends of their particular culture. Not all Shapers have displayed the care and attention to the rigors of their society that are expected of them. The kindreds that became the Krutox, or the Kroot Hounds, were led by Shapers in just the same way that all Kroot are. Upon the extreme end, there have been Shapers who have violated one of the primary accords that keep the Kroot bound in partnership to the Tau Empire. Do not, under any circumstances, consume the flesh of a Tau. Although the Tau ultimately seek to purge the Kroot of their cannibalistic and carnivorous tendencies, the Tau themselves being exclusively herbivorous, they tolerate the practice in the meantime, although one is unsure if all within the Empire are aware of precisely the nature of its centrality to not just the culture of the Kroot, but their biology. The law banning the consumption of Tau carcasses is inviolate. Those that do so are labeled outcasts and exiles, denied their kindreds, and expelled from Tau space, presuming they are not simply executed. The reasons for this ban may, in fact, be highlighted by one such rogue Shaper, a creature by the name of Zottel, in the thrall to Ordo Xenos Inquisitor Tylundia Falks, renowned for being the interrogator of the greenskin Makari. Zottel had broken the ultimate Kroot taboo, but in doing so appeared to be galvanized into a pan-galactic rampage of flesh consumption, driven, by Falks's reckoning, on the expansion of its mind. One wonders whether or not the Tau's famed evolutionary pace, accomplishing in millennia what other species were only capable of over the span of millions of years, affected the Kroot's own development to a dangerous degree. Zottel, for instance, is one of the most intelligent Kroot within Imperial records, sealed or unsealed, the consumption of its master species allowing it to achieve within months shifts in physiology and mental acuity that other Shapers were only managing over successive generations. Zottel's physical form, meanwhile, underwent such radical alterations that by the time it was within Inquisitor Falk's possession, it had become a sort of debased aquatic amphibian, capable only of survival within a tank of fetid water. However, for all the regression or changes in form, its mind remained incredibly clear, contrasting entirely to the faunotype Kroot offshoots previously discussed. Perhaps we owe a form of thanks to the Tau for the laws they have imposed on their allies of convenience, and offer thanks to the God Emperor that the Kroot have elected to follow it. One wonders as to their lunatic capabilities should they discover what Zottl and the other exiles of their species apparently have. What remains, then, is the hypothesis around how such a species came to exist in its present state, or rather, the state that existed upon first contact with the Tau Empire, and laterally the Imperium. Officially, said first contact occurred during the Damocles Gulf Crusade, although, given the Kroot's mercenarial tendencies, one cannot believe that the Xenos and humanity had not previously crossed paths, in whatever informal capacity. The prevailing Mechanicus theorem is centered around the Kroot's humanoid presentation. It is unlikely that, given the nature of Pech and its almost entirely arboreal biosphere, that there was much in the way of an evolutionary drive to compel the Kroot's body to push out of its avian form into the two-legged, two-armed configuration common amongst most spacefaring races. How then was it achieved? The answer likely lies with the orcs. At some point millennia prior to first contact, an orcoid ship crash-landed upon Pech, or just decided to set down there. The Kroot, having already developed their neurodigestive organ and come to dominate the planet's fauna entirely, either naturally or unnaturally, consumed these orcs, rendering their qualities into their own bodies and expressing in the now common humanoid physiotype seen today. Evidence for this is trifold. First, the presence of orc-aligned organs within Kroot bodies, as previously mentioned. Secondly, a report from an Officio Assassinorum Clade operative filed after a visit to Pech in the company of an Imperial rogue trader. In this report, the operative states that the Kroot were deeply wary of her presence specifically, despite having no obvious reason to be compared to the rest of the trader's retinue. A caution that the operative posited was due to the Xenos being able to smell, or otherwise detect, the polymorphine drug within her system that was allowing her to wear the face of another human as a disguise. Nevertheless, said agent was still granted a tour of a Kroot holy site, a place of reverence wherein lay clearly mechanical artifacts bedecked with emblems of crude horned skulls with massive lower jaws, a sigil common to any who have encountered the orcs throughout the galaxy. Finally, the third piece of evidence is also mechanical. The starships of the Kroot themselves, the so-called war spheres. These gigantic spacecraft are utterly unlike anything the Kroot appear to be able to construct. Indeed, Pech does not even appear to have an industrial base. Or if it does, the infrastructure is superlatively well hidden from the eyes of outsiders. Given their ramshackle appearance, Imperial xenobiologist adepts have theorized that the spheres are little more than cannibalized orcoid technology. Robust and dangerous, yes, but as with all orc machinery, not overly complex despite what it is capable of. What is deeply worrying about the latter theory is its implications, and the questions it raises with them. If the war spheres are merely reconstructed orc spacecraft, how exactly did the Kroot develop the knowledge to construct them? The answer, or at least the nightmare, may lie in their consumption of the orcs that brought the ships to Pech in the first place. Orcs, as any who have parsed my records upon them are aware, utilize a debased form of psychic gestalt field to access a sort of species memory encoded into their genetic structure by their ancient progenitors. This repository of programmed knowledge has been hypothesized to exist in some form of discrete layer of the Immaterium itself. It is not entirely impossible that in their consumption of the orc, those ancient Kroot not only took their humanoid form, but also some degree of access to the gestalt field, and thus the knowledge encoded in the fungus meat they ate, allowing them to express certain qualities previously restricted to the orcoid engineer subspecies. One does not quite have to elaborate on the staggering and terrifying implications of this possibility, and one can only wonder, or feel relieved, that all it has thus far apparently led to was a construction of crewed starships allowing for crewed mercenary kin bands to traverse the galaxy. It may have been an unconscious or subconscious drive, not quite aligned with the intelligence of the species enough for them to realize the full potential of what they had encountered. In some ways, we may owe a begrudging thanks to the Tau and the timing of their encounter with the species. It is perhaps because of their controlling and repressive hand on the activities of the Kroot, and the tacit conservatism of the Shapers when approaching radical alterations to the genome, that we have thus far avoided the specter of a Kroot species fully awakened to its genetic potential. Until such a time as I have the strength to continue this unfortunately necessary catalogue of Xenos horrors, Ave Imperator, Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @OculusImperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.